all the bona fide members of the Chelmsford Seventh-day Adventist Church are requested to attend their business meeting on Sunday, the 19th of July. It'll be in the morning, and the timings will be notified to you on the church WhatsApp group. This afternoon, our pastor is continuing the Bible study. We had been blessed with a series that he had in a Revelation. And today, as you can see on the screen, pastor is going to do the Bible study on the topic, Secret of Sabbath in Genesis 2. So I'm sure that's going to be very interesting to know the secret of Sabbath that God revealed very early in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 2. So the Zoom ID has been displayed here. So please join us this afternoon at 3:30 for this program. And the last announcement is for those who need some help. There is food stuff that is available. And those of you who are in need, or those who you know that will can avail these food stuff, if you can please contact Sister Wendy Blackett from Chelmsford Church, she'll be able to help you for the food distribution. Okay, that concludes the announcement, and I'm going to do the welcome, and I'm going to introduce those who are going to do the program this morning. Acts chapter 15 and verse 4, I'm just reading in your hearing, and it reads, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God has done with them. I read it again. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and the elders, and they declared all that God has done with them. Now, we have not come to Jerusalem, but we have come here to fellowship and worship on this Zoom platform. All the churches in Chelmsford and Basildon district, that is Chelmsford Church, Basildon Church, Braintree Church, and Malden Church, has come. And now that we have come as per the tradition and as per the requirement, as the Bible example goes, that we need to welcome you. And we would like to welcome, as they say, their apostles and the elders welcome them. But we have our pastor and we have elders from all the churches. On behalf of everybody, I would take this opportunity to welcome you all for our worship service, divine service this morning. And it says, and they declared all what God has done to them. It is our time that when we praise our God, when we intercede and pray to our God, that we will thank God for all what he has done and declare what he has done in this fellowship. This morning, the service will be as follows. See, after the welcome, I would like to request Sister Hilda to do the opening song, followed by the intercessory prayer, which will be done by Elder Moses Sebeliba. And after that, we will be having an offertory done by Elder Alfred Roger, and children's story will be done by Sister Emerald. Scripture reading will be done by Seppo, and the song of meditation will be given to us by Sister Sneha and Eva Paul, and following which our very own pastor, God servant, Pastor John Melky, will give us the bread of life. And the closing song will be done by Sister No Dubey and family. And pastor will be offering the benediction, and we'll conclude with a vote of thanks. So before we go to the opening song, once again, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome all the people who have joined here on this Zoom, those who are watching here in Zoom, as well as on the YouTube live and on the website, church website. We want to welcome you from wherever you are. May God bless you, and may you declare all his good works. In a special way, there are a few people pastors asked me to mention. Brother David Swash, I believe he is joined for the first time on the Zoom. We want to welcome you, Sister Sissy Pond. We want to welcome you too, who joined here for the first time on the Zoom here in Chelmsford Zoom Church. And we also want to welcome offer a special welcome to Elder Alfred Raju, who has also joined us all the way from Hyderabad in India. And he will be doing the offertory, as I mentioned earlier. May God bless us, and may we worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we have already studied last week, it is a request from our pastor that for intercessory prayer, where possible, you all can kneel down as that intercessory prayer is being offered. And this is a request, where possible, you can do it. May God bless us as we enter into this service. Over to you, Sister Hilda.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Our opening hymn will be hymn number 86. We'll have the music played by Solomon. Oh Lord, my God, when I also wonder, consider, oh, thou wast the heart of men. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thy path throughout the universe display. This is my song, must ever more to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. This is my song, must ever more to thee. Thank you.
All of us to kneel down where possible for the intercessory prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we magnify and glorify your name because you are God and there is no other. We thank you, Lord, for protecting and providing for all of us throughout the course of the past week. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us into the Sabbath hours to worship you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many people who have been healed by you physically. We thank you for the people whom you have healed spiritually. We thank you, Lord, for the multitude of prayers which have ascended to you during the 100 days of prayer. And Lord, we thank you and glorify your name for answering prayers. We thank you for the hearts of men and women, young and old, who have been turned away from the world to focus on the one who made us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, who keeps us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we lift up our eyes unto you because we know that our help comes from you. Our help comes from you, O Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Heavenly Father, we praise your name because you will not allow our foot to be moved. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you who looks after us, you neither slumber nor sleep. Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify your name because you are our keeper and you are our shade and at our right hand, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that the sun shall not strike us by day, nor the moon by night. And we glorify your name because you will preserve us from all evil and you will preserve all our soul because we trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we want to present to you, the person who is going to break the bread of life to us this morning. Anoint them, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide them behind the cross. Speak through them so that the word that they speak will be changing to our lives. The change for the better, from a wayward path to the path of obedience. So, Lord, we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the visitors who have joined this Zoom box, Lord, for the first time. Heavenly Father, bless them. Bless their families, Lord. And we pray that this message will be a message, Lord, that will resonate with their lives wherever they are in their Christian path. And Heavenly Father, if they have any desire in their hearts, Lord, we pray that as a result of them joining us this morning, Lord, your hand will work marvels in their lives, Lord, so that they can testify that they worship a living God. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who may not be feeling well this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you stretch your hand and touch upon them. Heal them physically. Heal them spiritually. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have lost their loved ones during the course of the week. Bring comfort from above and remind us, those of us who are still living, to number our days and to make our path straight before it is eternally too late. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. We do not take this privilege for granted because, Lord, we are constantly reminded that there are so many who started the year 2020 in January, but sadly they are no longer with us. But you have left each and every one of us here for a purpose. And Heavenly Father, we pray that that purpose will be fulfilled in our lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as your servant speaks to us, our purpose will become clear in our minds and will be ignited to act and serve and perform your will. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we will ask Elder Alfred Raju to do the offertory. You have to unmute yourself, sir.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. It's my happy privilege this morning, this afternoon for us, to join the Chelmsford Church, and glad that I could able to be take part in the church. I want to thank the church pastor and all the elders and all for giving me this privilege for me. It's the first time I'm taking part. But I'm sure that we all will enjoy together as we worship the God. Today, they have given to me the promotion of tithes and offering. It is one of the vital program of our church today, of Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is about worshiping, worship. It's nothing else. It's worship that we do. And there are seven theological realities that help establish a biblical framework for understanding the returning of tithes and offering in our church. My God's people are there worshiping him because of the scriptures. Today we could able to see many are giving their offerings, tithes and offerings. The question comes to us this morning: how far we are giving to the church? Are we giving to the church with willingness, or the Adventist giving that we have? And I'm sure that many of us will understand that the giving is living. Today I want to tell you that one story that happened. There is one child with a mother. They came to church or Adventist church one day. The child was with mother and a girl and a boy. So they came to church and they sat in the front row of our church. And they sat in the front row and waiting for God's message. Before that, there's a pastor stood up, is said, time for giving offerings. So he called for a deacons, and he called for all the elders to collect the offering. So deacon went row by row. When he came to the boy that is sitting with mother, son said, Mommy, give me some money to give to the Lord. But Lord, Mommy said, Son, I'm very sorry, I don't have money to give you. The son was so sad to hear from Mommy that I don't have money to give. The week passed, the next week they came. They both came, Mommy and the other children. They were sitting at the back of the road, back of the church, and waiting for the messages. The pastor stood up and said, now the offering will be collected. The deacons went row by row, collecting the offerings. When he came to that boy, then he asked Mommy, can you give some money to give to the Lord? Mommy said, I don't have money to give your son. Immediately taught himself, very cleverly he said, he took a small paper and a pen, and he wrote something which is in the paper, and he dropped into the offering bag. Nobody knows what he has written it. When the deacons were counting the offering, they saw a slip in that bag. You know what he said in that paper written? Dear Lord, I don't have money to give my life to you. It's not the offering that we give, my church. It's my life, your life to the Lord. Surrender your life to God so that the Lord will bless you richly. Today, Adventist giving, now because of the lockdown, we have all the system of online system to send your offerings and send your whatever that you want to send to the Lord. This way we are having a lot of business in all the countries. But today I want to request all of you to pray that Lord will bless you as you give your offerings to him. My prayer is to all of you, and God will bless you as you give your offering to the Lord. Now I call upon, we have 2-3 systems. We have, I don't know about Chelmsford, but we have India. We take our Bible and put our offering inside the Bible. When pastor comes, we will give to them. But I don't know what is the problem, but I'm sure that the elders will follow whatever they want to do today. Thank you so much.
Can you offer the prayer for the offerings as well, elder? Please pray for the offerings as well. You have to unmute.
Okay. Mighty God in heaven, we want to thank you for this wonderful day, Sabbath day. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us during the week and we're able to worship you. Lord, we are waiting for this day to receive thy blessings. We want to thank you for this wonderful Sabbath we could be able to be here together, not in one place, but in the Zoom program. But I know, Lord, you are watching everybody. And whatever we do, Lord, we bring honor and glory to you. At this moment, Lord, we pray for the offerings that is being collected. We pray that you will bless it, multiply it, for use it for thy preaching of thy gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for accepting our prayer, because I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, okay.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm sure you all will be happy today to see the Sabbath. All week you've been studying, and homeschooling is really hard, isn't it? My son says he likes me as a mom, not as a teacher. So I'm sure you'll be excited for today. So my story today is about a beautiful place, okay, like Chelmsford. In that, there was a road called Beacon Road. In that Beacon Road, they had beautiful houses everywhere and people were so happy. But the sad thing is, middle of those beautiful houses, there was a haunted house. Okay, have you all seen a haunted house? Yeah. So it was so scary, and the windows were broken. You can see birds flying, and the grass were grown really tall. And even they had mice. You know, you've seen mice and worms. So among the beautiful houses over there, they had this ugly house. You won't believe, even people, they put trash in that house. And they put all garbages there, and flies were flying, and it was not a good sight at all. So one spring, what happened is, a couple were passing by. When they saw this, they were thinking, what? In such a beautiful house, middle of that, they have this ugly house. So this couple, actually, they are gardeners. So they were looking around the house and taking some notes, and they went away. When they were doing that, you know, the people in that neighborhood, whenever they pass through that street, they will be walking. Once that house, when house is nearing, they'll go away from that house and they walk. So when these gardeners were near that ugly house, these neighbors were looking and they were so curious. They're thinking, what these people are going to do? Probably they're going to write to the counselor, and they're going to write to the counselor to make sure they're going to demolish that house. And they were happy because they didn't take any initiative. And this family, they came and they were looking and they wanted to do something. So this family, they went to a city council. So, okay, they went to the city hall and they were looking. They were looking to speak to someone. So they went to the clerk. So when they went to the ward clerk, this man went and spoke to that lady. And he asked, excuse me, I would like to speak to someone about this Beacon Road. As soon as he said Beacon Road, this lady's eyes was popping. Oh, hope he's not going to talk about those that haunted house. He said, I would like to buy that house. And she was shocked. What? You're going to buy the house? And she took all the folders and she said, this house will cost a lot because there are loads of due taxes to pay. it's better you just ignore whatever plan you have. But this man said, no, whatever the cost, I am planning to buy the house. So she went and spoke to the manager. And the manager, when he heard, he was scratching his head. He was thinking, what, who's going to come to buy that house? And even to demolish the house, it might cost a lot. So that's why we ignored it. But this man insisted, and he said, I want to buy the house. And then finally, they bought the house. And the neighbors were thinking, wow, this is the right time. We could see the bulldozer is going to come and demolish the house. But for their surprise, the husband and wife, the couple, it was summer. They spent most of the time in that house. And what they did was, you know, the weeds were grown tall, the grasses were grown, and the trash were there. They started to clean up. Day by day, they started to one after another. And finally, what do you think would have happened? Does anyone want to guess anything? Oh, there came a beautiful house in that area. They made a good job, made that house beautiful. And even they had a pond, a fountain, and they made it really beautiful. When the neighbors saw that, they were really shocked. They said, wow. This house was so ugly. This was the worst house in our road, and it became the most beautiful house. You know what? This lady and the man, they were learned from small how to do this gardening. So they thought they have to do something to this house. In fact, outside the house, they put as the garden center, they put now open, free garden lessons. So people were so happy. They were coming in, looking around, and they were admiring the beauty. So most of us, you know, we also are like this house. You know, we have loads of trashiness. Garbages, and we call them as a sin. Okay. We do come across children. It could be from our family or relatives, or it could be even at school, that bully or the neighborhood, the child who looks geeky. What we do? Do we go speak to them? No, all we do is we go out of their way. We don't want to have any relationship with them. We just want to avoid them. See, God doesn't do that. He's our gardener. Even though we are filthy, he cleanses and he forgives us. And he makes our life so beautiful. You know, there is a verse in 2 Peter 3:9. I'm reading from English Standard Version. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So we all have that filthiness in us. When we ask forgiveness, God will definitely forgive us. So my story doesn't end here, okay? So we have received the forgiveness, so we also should show that forgiveness to others. When you see someone who's not looking good, either physically or mentally, or maybe their characters are not good, don't try and avoid and show hatred towards them. Try and show love. We can surely make their life beautiful. So the lesson what I would like you all to learn today is, when you see someone, let us remember whether are we going to see them as an eyesore or are we going to see them as a garden. Thank you all for listening. Shall we all have a word of prayer, please? Is there anyone who would like to pray today? Okay, I think it's in mute, so let me not interrupt the media. Team, let's pray. You want to pray? Okay, let's pray. Our Father God, thank you so much for this lovely story, Lord. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Lord, thank you that our sins are forgiven, and help us to forgive one another. And also, Lord, help us as a children and as an adult to not look bad things in others, rather look at the beauty and try to show your love to them. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Thank you all for listening.
Seppo, could you please do the scripture reading, please?
Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew 24, verses 7 to 8. It says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are beginning of sorrows."
Psalm 71 verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually and will yet faithfully and more." When we experience difficult situations in our life, sometimes we may be unsure of what to do. And this song is a reminder that when we go through those difficult times, the best thing that we can do is to choose to trust and praise our God.
I will praise you, Lord my God. Even in my brokenness, I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord my God. Even in my desperation, I will praise you, Lord. And I can understand all that you allow. I just can't see the reason. But my life is in your hands. No, I cannot see you. I choose to trust you.
Even in the darkest. blessed Sabbath to everyone, and happy Sabbath to your family as well. And may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord continue to uphold you and preserve you, not only you, but also your extended families. And I praise the Lord that God's mighty power and his hand is upon us to move forward in spite of disaster and difficulties. God is always in control to look after us and care for us so that we all will experience a great joy in our lives. I sincerely extend my gratitude and thanks to everyone who took part in this Sabbath services, particularly Sabbath school, and also in the family worship or divine worship. Thank you so much for your melodious songs and your contribution in Sabbath school, in health and future. And thank you so much. May the Lord continue to multiply the skills and talents in your lives. As Paul says, whether it is season or out of season, be ready to preach the word. So wherever we have the gap and the opportunities, let's make use of it so that we can make our God glad. And as the lesson study says in Zechariah, that even God sings when we make him happy. And thank you so much for all the elders who helped me to organize this Sabbath services and worship in a way that we can peacefully praise the Lord, lift our hearts and lift our God in his holiness. Today, my discourse is very simple, very straightforward, and the topic is lessons from COVID-19. Lessons from COVID-19. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Mighty God in heaven, we do thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath hour. We thank you, dear Lord, you are so happy to see us coming together to worship you and lift our hearts to praise you and honor you because you are our creator and sustainer and also our life preserver. So God in heaven, we bow down before you and we salute you in the name of Jesus. And even today, dear Lord, as we open our scriptures to study some of the basic lessons that so far we have learned from COVID-19. Speak to us through the Holy Spirit as we wait upon the blessed hope, the coming of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring an eternal solution for all of our difficulties and disasters and deformities. Speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Our text for today's meditation is taken from Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8. One of the answers that Jesus himself explained to his disciples when they came privately and asked, what shall be the end of this world? What are the signs? How the end of the world will be? And as Jesus was saying one after another, he never ignored to mention this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 and 8. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And when I studied that particular verse 8, it really triggered my mind beginning of sorrows. You know, as we know that this COVID-19 really swept the world, and still it sweeps the world. Almost or nearly 500,000 people put their bed in their grave just because of that. And hundreds of thousands of people are infected, hospitalized, and isolated in homes. And many people are really depressed, brokenhearted. But Bible says this pestilence or this kind of signs are just the beginning of sorrows. The worst is yet to come. It's just the beginning of the sorrow. So when we think about the climax of the sorrow, that will be completely a dreadful one. So Jesus was taking us step by step in order to accept and deal bit by bit. So he's saying this plague or this pestilence, however you want to call it, he's saying it is just the beginning of sorrows. And you know, February 28th in Surrey was the first person got infected in United Kingdom. And in March 5th, 70-year-old woman died in UK as the first person by COVID-19. So if we just calculate either from March 5 or February 8 till July 4th, as per the news and the reports, it says nearly 44,000 people died within these 3 months in United Kingdom itself. And it's not only about the death or infection, but think about the sermons. When the COVID-19 came up and trying to infect people, kill people, almost every pastor, including me, we were preaching about pestilence, we were preaching about plagues, we were preaching about all kinds of diseases that God Egyptians experienced. Then that was for just a while. Then the sermons began to be preached about lockdown. People preached about Noah's Ark, that people were inside, locked down. So all the sermons, most of the sermons, preachers were preaching about lockdown, encouraging people, motivating people to experience the joy in Jesus Christ, even during the lockdown season. And that was just for one period. Then slowly, it's changed. People began to preach, where is God in COVID-19? And almost all the pastors and preachers, Bible workers, began to preach, where is God in COVID-19? And that was for a while. But nowadays, preachers began to preach what will happen or the condition of the world after COVID-19. So we are just dealing with the situations day by day, because Jesus said, it is just the beginning of sorrows. Don't break out. Don't be dismayed. Just be ready, because what COVID-19 or any 1918 Black Death or plagues, it's all simply the beginning of sorrows, because we have to go through the dreadful time, worst time. Brothers and sisters, if you and me believe that such pestilence or such situation is one of the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, my solemn, divine, and humble question is, what did we learn from that? If we strongly believe that COVID-19 is also one of the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, what did we learn from COVID-19? And in fact, yesterday news says America already began to experience the second type of virus, and 4 people died already in the United States. And the world is getting ready to deal with the second type of or second wave of the COVID-19 or the different virus. So as we think about the signs of the times, signs of the final events, signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, in the context of the coming of Jesus Christ, after all, what did we learn? And today, I would like to just give you three lessons that I personally learned, which I would like to share with you. It is not only me, including you, every person, including our children, young people, must have learned lessons from COVID-19. Lesson number one, what we can learn from this COVID-19. If you and me completely convinced that this is one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 and 8, what lessons we can draw from this deadly virus or COVID or COVID-19 pandemic? Lesson number one. While it's still available. Avail, while it's still available. What do you mean by that? You know, buy while it is still in stock. When the COVID-19 came into United Kingdom, when the information was passed to everybody through newspaper, that the grocery shops, retail shops, everything will be closed from this particular day. Everybody, there was flocked into the shops. There was a big length of queue because they want to avail, they want to buy everything before the stock is over, before the door is closed, before all the shops and retails, everything is closed and locked down. So everyone ran and just stood in the queue and just bought everything, whether it is the hand wash or sanitizer or tissues or fruits or vegetables or groceries, including rice and everything. We just stuck in our house because everything is going to be locked down. So my first point that I learned from this COVID-19 pandemic is avail when it's still available. Because for one sanitizer, I personally experienced, because I wanted to keep one small bottle in my car. So when I went to Lidl, every shelf was empty. I ran to Tesco, shelf was empty. So I learned a lesson from this COVID-19 that we have to avail when it is still available. And brothers and sisters, this is the physical life. But what about spiritual life? If you and me believe that this is one of the signs of Christ coming, we have to avail the truth. We have to avail the warning. We have to avail the providence of God. We have to avail the guidance of the Holy Spirit before it runs out, before the stock is over. Let me give you a couple of texts to substantiate this point. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. And God is counseling, suggesting the Laodicean church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. So Christ Jesus Christ writes to John and asks him to preach to the people that before the end of the world, you have to go buy everything and make it available while it's still in stock. Many people are just lenient about it, despise the warning. But I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for Seventh-day Adventist World Church, that we are all meeting people, warning them, admonishing them, discoursing them, and just speak to them. Be ready. Avail everything while it's still available. Otherwise, the time will run out. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, although it was written in the Old Testament time, today we are in Amos' message. Behold, the days come. And I strongly believe today you can consider that. Says the Lord God, that I will send, God is saying, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord for the Zoom. I completely illiterate in using the technologies, but I appreciate the way that our people are availing the Zoom while it's still available. Sabbath schools and revelation prophecies and sermons and church services, people from different parts of the world coming in Zoom and preaching and giving lectures after lectures and presentation. Why? Because God himself is going to send a famine, and nobody can stop it, nobody can edit it, and nobody can question God, because that's not the famine of bread or water, but hearing the words of the Lord. The lesson that we learned from COVID-19 pandemic is avail while it's still in stock. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What lesson we can learn from COVID-19 pandemic? Avail while it is still available. You know, it is my opportunity to remind you about the Pompeii. It is nice to remind then and there. Pompeii is one of the glorious cities in the Roman kingdom. Glorious city. And in fact, many Roman top class officials used to take holiday and come and stay here because of the wonderful natural sceneries. Pompeii was a magnificent city that the Roman king or Caesar particularly giving importance to this city. Only top class people, high class officials used to reside here in this city. But the things went against their wishes. 79 AD. You can see in the next pictures. Vesuvius Mountain exploded with the dreadful anger. And the historian says there was a cloud of ashes covered Pompeii. And the ashes filled them up 60 feet. And about 16,000 people died. Not because of the flood. And they were killed alive. Children next to them, father next to them. Nobody could escape. Nobody even dared to run out because the speed, the swiftness of the ash was so heavy beyond their speed. It covered them. Okay, hear what the historian says. In the next, says, in the case of Pompeii, the warning signs, I want you to make note of it, the warning signs were evident to those who bothered to heed them. 17 years before Mount Vesuvius erupted, there was a massive earthquake that damaged many structures in the city. Then, leading up to 79 AD, frequent but smaller quakes occurred. Soon, no one seemed to pay them any heed. In other words, oh, it's a small earthquake. Oh, this is small volcano. It's all, they just began to live with it. Although the warnings and the signs were given to them, the worst thing is yet to come. Be careful. A while it's still available. Run away. Don't live in luxurious city. In the end, ignoring these warnings proved fatal. Coincidentally, was just one day after the Vulcanalio, the festival of the Roman god of fire. I can't say whether it is accident or coincidence. When they were worshipping the god of fire, the mount exploded. The same fire that they were worshipping as God, the Mount Vesuvius erupted, a cloud of gas, and spewed down on Pompeii, instantly killing its inhabitants and burying them. How many? 16,000 people approximately. Burying the city under 60 feet of ash and pumice. Because they just ignored the warning and signs. What is the first lesson we can learn? Avoid the things when it's still available. This is the same situation even for the five virgins. At the last moment, they were running up and down to buy the oil. But that was too late. The door was closed because they completely ignored and despised and just least bothered about the warning and sign. What the lesson we can learn from COVID-19 pandemic? Avail while it's still available. Don't ignore any Bible study. Don't ignore any kind of spiritual admonition. Don't ignore any divine conundrum because that gives you sometime the final warning. Many frontline people just shared with me when I talked to them. They said, Pastor, it was completely a psychological effect that we were with them when they died in the hospital because of the corona. And just before they were suffocating, they asked for one prayer. They asked for one promise from the Bible. They asked for just one scripture reading. But there was no pastor. There was no elder. There was no Bible worker. And in fact, Pastor, it is so doleful to see that many people close their eyes forever without meeting their desire to hear one prayer. Brothers and sisters, I'll just give you a quote from Sister Ellen G. White, then I'll go to the second lesson from COVID-19 pandemic. Testimonies, volume 5, page 493. This day is just before us. The members of the church will individually be tested and proved. They will be placed in a circumstances where they will be forced to bear witness for the truth. Many will be called to speak before the counties or in courts of justice, perhaps separately or alone. Okay, here is the point. Experience, which would have helped them in this emergency, they have neglected to obtain. And they are so-called burdened with remorse for wasted opportunities and neglected privileges. Very soon, brothers and sisters, because of the Sabbath, because of the worship, because of the seventh-day divine experiences in our church, sometime we would be called by the mayor or the court of justice to explain the Sabbath, to explain the state of death, to explain the sanctuary. If you don't avail while it is still in stock, if you don't avail while it's still available, the time will come that even if we run from east to west, we may not be able to obtain it. So lesson number two. Lessons from COVID-19 pandemic. Okay, number two, deception and confusion during this COVID-19. Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading 4 and 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Is there anyone in this forum, in this Zoom, were you deceived by any of the, what should I say, confused scripture or confused context of scripture? Is there anyone in this Zoom that you were cheated by some of the inappropriate medicine that they asked you to use it for COVID-19? Okay, Jesus says, be careful that nobody should deceive you. And I personally experienced that deception. Next verse, verse 24, Matthew 24:24. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And this happened even during this COVID-19 pandemic. We received hundreds of thousands of WhatsApp and messages through social media. Do you think that all the messages are appropriate according to the Bible? You know, first they said, don't worry about it. This COVID or this corona will affect only people from 50. And we all believe, even I believe, okay, right, COVID-19 will attack the people who are 50 and above. Was it true? No. 40, 30, 20, 22, 19 died. And even 5-year-old, I heard, was infected and died. Confusion, deception. And one country says, oh, we have found the vaccination. Another country said, we have found the medicine. Well, where is the medicine? Where is the vaccination? And even in the Bible, when people send, they said, oh, in Italy, there is a city that people will just dump the dead bodies and bury it in a pit. But it wasn't the city. So there are so many things were coming and people were completely deceived and confused because of that. And one day they said the symptom, you will have fever or you will have a dry cough. But now they are saying sometime corona will affect you even without symptoms. People are confused. In fact, I am completely illiterate on all these things. But even while I was thinking, what's going on here? Because I couldn't understand what step should I take. So the only thing is just drinking lemon juice or the ginger. My son began to eat just the ginger itself. And they say, no. You have to eat this and that and everything. People are confused. The same thing will happen because it is just the beginning of sorrow. When we go to the worst thing, as Jesus said, we will be deceived even much more. My humble question is, are we sure of our 28 fundamental beliefs? If we take 28 fundamental beliefs, am I cleared with that? Am I cleared with that? I have no question. I have no confusion. I'm completely concrete on this. So are we clear about these 28 fundamental beliefs? Are we clear about the 7 doctrines of Seventh-day Adventist Church? Are we clear about the Holy Spirit? Because recently I attended one meeting in America. Seventh-day Adventist preachers, some of the preachers, they pick up something and they said, there is no Holy Spirit. Today, they are preaching. Some of the charismatic preachers in United States are preaching. No, there is no Holy Spirit. It is just like a Gabriel. Where is the world going? Where is our Adventist church is going? So many things are literally confusing us. And this is the time we have to learn a lesson to be concrete and firm in our beliefs. Nobody should be deceived, because it is the prophecy that at the last days, people will leave from the truth. Just check with your children. Children, are you sure about the Sabbath? Are you sure about the sanctuary? Do you know about the salvation by Jesus Christ? Do you know about the righteousness by grace? Just check with the children. Do you know this? Do you know this? If they say, no, I have a doubt, I'm confused, call the pastor, call your respective elders and ask them to teach them. Make them just stick. I know this. Not even demons and ghosts can confuse me. You need to be very careful. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and 29. It says, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples from them. And I strongly believe these things is happening during this COVID-19 pandemic. Confusions. Let me give you a thought from Christ in Sanctuary, page 17. Very, very wonderful passage. Christ in his sanctuary. The last quote from Spirit of Prophecy, page 17. Okay, it says, Christ in Sanctuary, page 17. Okay, you can say, Dheeraj, did you find it?
Don't have it, Pastor.
Oh, you don't have that? Okay, there must be there. Okay, so it says that at the last days, that people will hear some twisting doctrine, confusing truth. And in fact, there will be a time that people will say, don't believe that truth of sanctuary. Truth of sanctuary. Okay, thank you. I think this is the one. In the future, deception of every kind is to arise. And we want solid ground of our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Okay, here is the point. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. The enemy will bring in false theories, such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truth that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years? Number one, avail while still it's available. Number two, be careful with what you believe based on the prophecies and the Bible. And finally, the third thing that I learned, or even you must have learned from COVID-19 pandemic, life is so precious. We all learned life is so precious. Life is priority one. Just Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, we all know this by heart. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, for what is the man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? To be honest, brothers and sisters, I completely experienced the power of this particular text in COVID-19 pandemic, that life is so precious. And because life is so precious, we were ready even not to see our best friends, even not to go visit our beloved family members. Because life becomes so precious, priority number one, even people who hate ginger or lemon, they begin to drink. thinking, life is so precious. If I lose it, I will not get it back. Okay, in fact, many young people, many people who never been to home, they were locked inside the home and they were believing that somehow I want to be saved. So when they go out, they cover half of their face by PPT or PP something, okay, in order to preserve their lives. Because life became so precious. March 14 was the last Sabbath that we attended in church. People were not shaking hands. And I saw the BBC News, even Prince Charles. Okay, he was just doing like this to everybody. Why? Because COVID-19 pandemic has taught a lesson that life is so precious. Don't lose it on any cost. Sacrifice anything to preserve that life. Lock down. Be inside. Don't go. Don't go inside. Why? Because I want my life. My life is so precious. The COVID-19 pandemic taught a lesson. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Last text for today. How will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Brothers and sisters, if you lose the life, we can't gain it back. Life is so precious. It is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. God breathed his breath into a nostril and man became a living soul. So this life that I have is not mine. It is Christ is living in me. So let's not waste it. Let's save our lives, not only for this year, but the world to come. Life is even... they did not, who wanted to commit suicide, they wanted to preserve their lives. Your life cannot be wasted, my brothers and sisters. Your life has to be victorious. You have to win your life for your eternity. Let me remind you a true story. Aaron Lee Ralston, American mechanical engineer, an outdoors person. And in 2003, April 26, he was canyoneering in Blue John Canyon. And as he was coming down, the boulder broke down and he lost the control and he was smashed on the wall and his right hand was completely smashed and he was hanging and he was hanging. He knew that's the end of his life. He knew that's it. And his story says 5 days he was hanging with just one bottle of water. There was nobody to help him. He was completely isolated and it was bleeding. The bone was broken and he was crying with pain. And he was just drinking sip after sip. That with small bottle of water, he managed 5 days. I'm sorry to use this phrase, that after fifth day, he began to drink his own urine. Then he decided to write his date of birth on the mountain with his left hand. And also he wrote his death day, that particular day, April 26th. And he said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But all of a sudden his mind says, There is one thing if I do, I can save my life. If I do one thing, I can save my life. And if he just cut his hand or amputate his hand, he can survive. And I was so thrilled to you. You must have heard this story. And whatever the equipment, the tool that he had, he used it to cut his right hand. It was painful, anguish. He couldn't bear it, but he understood, only if I sacrifice my right hand, I can save my life. And he began to cut bit by bit. And finally, the right hand fell from his body. And he was saved. If you see in the last picture, he was saved because he thought life is so precious. Priority number one in my life is to save my precious life. I don't care if I sacrifice something in order to save my life. So he lost his right hand, but now he is saved. Brothers and sisters, what do we learn from COVID-19? The third lesson says, sacrifice anything to save your life for the glory of God. Avail while it is still available. Don't be deceived. Be confirmed in what you believe according to the word of God. And number three, make sure your life is so precious because it is God's given gift. May the Lord bless you as we continue to live for God. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. To close the divine service, our closing song will be hymn number 633. We'll sing hymn number 633 when we all get to heaven. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will over spread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow nor a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory, will the toils of life be paid. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will be streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Amen.
Sorry, let's pray. Father God, we come to your holy presence this morning. We thank you for your word. God in heaven, when something is hitting the world, you are asking us to learn lessons. When something is going around the life, you are expecting us to learn something. God in heaven, this is not the new thing, but this is what we are learning from Genesis. Please, we sincerely apologize, Lord, that many times we ignore to learn lessons. But today, we thank you that you have spoken to us. And we have learned a few lessons, dear Lord, from this COVID-19 pandemic. And you are asking us to avail while it is still available. You are asking us to be confirmed in truth and sure of our beliefs so that we will never be confused or deceived. And also, dear Lord, you have asked us to learn a lesson that life is so important and precious because this belongs to you. And you have ransomed our lives by your precious blood. So there is nothing that we should waste. But in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for your precious people. They are very significant for you, dear Lord. Bless them and keep them safe in your mighty arm. If there is any difficulties, if there is any illness or sickness or any depression, mental agony, physical pain that people pass through. Please, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, give them peace, give them hope, and just to help them to be reminded that you are still alive so that we can face tomorrow. And continue to bless us, dear Lord, and help us to bring back at 3:30 to listen to you until keep us safe in your right hand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, everyone. We have been truly, truly blessed by what we have experienced today in our Sabbath service, both in the Sabbath school as well as during the divine service. On behalf of the church and our church pastor, I'd like to thank all those who have participated today. We want to thank Sister Cheritza for the welcome and the opening prayer that she offered, following which we had such a beautiful singing. I think most of you who joined late missed the beautiful singing of two lovely young girls, Jorin and Jaslyn, who blessed us with their special song. And the feature talk was done by Sister Andrea, and a health talk by Sister Akitonide. We really thank you for such a beautiful thoughts that you brought out in those two talks. We want to thank all the Sabbath school teachers and the sister, Brother Norbert and his family for the song, and Sister Mary for the beautiful prayer that you offered during the Sabbath school, and all those who participated in the divine service, Sister Hilda for singing and leading out in this opening song, Elder Moses for the beautiful prayer, and Elder Alfred Raju, who's the retired treasurer of one of the unions in India. We want to thank you for your presence and your thoughts on offering and your prayer. Sister Emerald, for the beautiful children's story. Seppo, for your reading. And Sneha and Eva, for your singing. And Sister Dube, for the closing song. But I'd like to specially mention a special note of thanks to our church pastor for speaking to us and delivering God's message, timely messages, week after week, and for your service to this church. May God bless you, Pastor, and your family, for your untiring services 24/7. And just as Pastor has reminded us today, we have to make things available. When it is available, we have to avail them. This afternoon, the Bible study is available, where God is going to tell us about the secret of Sabbath. You know, if you have heard and if you have to follow what Pastor has told, we have to avail what is available now. So come today. And also the second point is that all the beliefs and the doctrines, we need to be firm in order to know about the secret of Sabbath. As we have heard from this message this morning, come today at 3:30 to be blessed, so that we will follow what we have heard this morning. May God bless you. See you then. God bless us all.
Amen. Amen. Blessed Sabbath to all.
Blessed Sabbath, Stephanie.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Sabbath.
Amen. Blessed Sabbath.